Yeah, Cam, you were adding something to what Ryan said before.
Yeah, I guess this would be that whole section in general about changes in consciousness. But I would say that when you're progressing spiritually and you awaken your senses and you can expand your consciousness to where instead of just getting flashes sometimes or switching from one state to another, that you can hold those stages simultaneously. And with that too, you become more responsible spiritually, because you will want to take on and do more things. Like you might want to join some sort of church, or if you're in a lineage, you will take on students to give back to people, so to speak.
So initiation becomes a way to confer knowledge generationally.
I have a friend. I've been talking a little bit with him, and he's pretty much into these kind of stuff. And he said that initiation is basically helping you to become the incarnation of evolution. So, and I've been thinking about that and what that means. And my conclusion is that if you get initiated into some sort of culture, if your values has changed and you want to adhere to a culture with higher values than before, you get initiated into that kind of culture or that value system or that way of thinking, that kind of consciousness, and you, through that culture, start to access other parts of yourself to find a new way of functioning, activating these new values or standing for these new values, and in a way changing the world by becoming a new person.
Yeah, I would say you probably become more of yourself. You become more of who and what you are.
I like
Your
that.
potential.
A
I
deeper
mean,
knowledge of self occurs.
but also, how could we not be already an incarnation of evolution? We're all incarnations of evolution, but I would say initiation makes you aware of it. It increases your awareness of this and allows you to actualize it.
It's all about the scope.
Yeah, like how many times has it been said about someone, oh, they just don't know the potential that they have?
Yeah, but when you said, how can one not be incarnation of evolution? That's true in a sense, but I think sometimes or often we can be afraid to take that step, to go a step further and to be true to ourselves.
But that's also part of evolution. That's also evolution incarnated. I mean, evolution, what is it? It's a process. You can't evolve without having the experience of being unevolved, without having the experience of being stuck, without having the experience of being weak.
Yeah,
Just like you
of
can't
course.
have knowledge without the awareness that you're ignorant. Well, let's look at
Well, you
puberty,
were.
for instance. There are a lot of problems that can happen during puberty without guidance, you know? I mean, kids with their hormones, you know, they'll fuck anything and everything. But if there's guidance in an initiation ritual, these new energies can be given a more wholesome outlet.
Like generating crisis, for example, cutting off the penis of the guy in the circumcision ritual, generating a crisis in order to start some sort of new consciousness, in order to get through puberty, for example. And I think these higher transformations, which maybe not all people go through, can be pretty hard to find good initiation rites for.
Well, and there are crises generated in the AA initiations, as those involved will find out. To have PJ silent for so long,
No, you bring you
such a strange phenomenon.
Yeah, for real.
You bring up something interesting when you talk about, you know, these dramatic things that can change consciousness. you know, shocking of the mind or what have you. We can look at the Zen koan, which is also another way of abruptly, you know, creating a kundalini experience.
Which they call satori. But, you know, some of the experiences the Zen monks used were beating the other monks, too, with the waking stick. There's a quote I have from a senior monk giving advice to a new senior monk, saying it's important to beat them. Actually, you can't beat them enough. I used to beat them so hard that I almost broke my fist because they just don't understand. And I even heard of rare instances where, like, a finger might be cut off as a way to jerk a person into a more wakeful consciousness.
That actually brings us to the next question here. Can we become initiated despite our will?
Some parents try to beat the sense into their kids, but the whole shocking into consciousness kind of reminds me of Fight Club, where he has the lie poured on his hand.
I remember in the early days, I had only recently joined the OTO, so I guess we're going back to something like 1986. And I met some guys who became interested in me. They dropped by my house one day and dropped off a few pamphlets. And they were no longer active members of the OTO, but they wanted to share some stuff with me. And projects they were working on was to initiate a group of people kind of against their will through a concert performance. A little bit later on, these guys were connected, these original guys I met were connected in a near way with a band that emerged in the underground club scene in New York called the Golden Dawn. And their whole stage act was about developing, initiating the audience that came to see that. Psychic TV talked about that. As a matter of fact, I saw the one tour of them when they ran around showing the film of Genesis Parrish's surgery to have a cock ring, you know, fitted into his penis. They showed the surgery. That was the whole thing. The band performed behind the screen that was showing the film. So,
oh, gross.
Yeah. So you see, a lot of people, you know, have this idea that they know better and they want to initiate other people. Yes, so do we.
But first of all, the example I gave of the Zen monks, these are people who wanted to be initiated, number one. And when I said that, when I answered the question, can you be initiated despite your will, I wasn't necessarily meaning somebody else could do it necessarily. But like example, life circumstances can initiate you whether or not you want to be initiated. You know,
you can be
your
initiated.
House gets destroyed by a tornado and you lose everything you have, you are being initiated into a whole new level of consciousness, whether you want to or not.
Yes, exactly.
You're drafted into the army. You're being initiated into a whole other level of consciousness, especially if you're in a war and you want to survive. There's no option.
I would say reasonably often enough, we are asked, we are put in situations where we're given initiation without knowing what we're entering into.
Yeah.
Such as joining the army, joining the Boy Scouts. You know, these are things that, you know, make you a man. Or at least they did. When I quit the Boy Scouts, when, you know, you started getting, like, you know, cooking merit badges and stuff like that. You know, just like fairy merit badges. I didn't need a merit badge and, you know, had a key punch, you know, computer cards. You know what I'm saying? It was supposed to be about rugged individuals and surviving out in nature.
But in the AA, what I believe that happens, I mean, we are using magic in the full sense of the word, which means using both gross and subtle forces to accomplish your will, you're attracting synchronicities in your life, synchronicities that will force you to be initiated, whether you want to or not. Certain events will happen that will correspond with the states of consciousness that you're aiming to develop, and it will attract certain crises. This is the nature of your deals. They are the created crises that come as a result of your own will, by the way, which is affirmed in the use of the symbols in the initiation rituals, the performing of the tasks of each grade, the correspondence with the superior, the teacher of that grade. All of this brings about these synchronicities, these meaningful coincidences, and these crises, which give the aspirant no choice but to develop a new perspective to get through that crisis.
When I think of the ordeals, I think the phrase, ignorance is bliss. As we come to new and greater knowledge, for example, a teenager who rises out of childhood, making decisions for his own. I mean, the depression of the teenage years. How few adults would ever want to go back and relive their teenage years? The uncertainties, the insecurities, the new knowledge that has left us with a host of problems we didn't have when we were naive children. So the ordeals represent an opening up. They're challenges for us, of course. And we have to treat them as they present themselves. But they're also liberators. They're bringing us to new levels of awareness. So the taskmaster that initiates us may initiate us with a kiss or a slap in the face.
Or both.
Or both. I prefer a kiss personally, but he's got to be prettier than you, Ryan.
Yeah.
I can give a kiss then.
Oh, there you go, David. Let me just drop my pants. Reach over.
That reminds me of a movie I just watched today. It was called Hangover Part 2. Yeah, I strongly recommend it to the rest of you there. Is good, clean chicks with dicks fun? All right, please edit that out off of the recording. All right, so back to the target.
Well, it seems we should really move on to the next question here.
Yeah.
And that's the last one. What is the difference between initiation and adepted?
Adepted?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I like that one. Since I wrote it, you know what I'm saying? I thought it
was... I'm not even sure where to begin answering that one. Anybody want to...
Well, I think it's easy to start. We see that certain grades of initiation begin to open us up. Let's walk up the tree as the AA might. I'm going to become aware of the animal soul and the flesh, and shall we say the lower astral, the etheric, that most directly connected with the material forces. I'm going to enter the astral world proper at Yasat. I've now perceived well beyond the physical world. We were talking about astral projection before. You're really just projecting your consciousness to different levels of your being. And so then finally I make it to Hod, the intellect, and Netzach, the emotions, and I get a good grip on these lives. I've done all the things the AA has prescribed. I've examined my tendencies. I've, practiced cutting out those tendencies which don't serve my will. I've began to formulate the universe in terms of my will. Finally, at some point, I become whole and complete that I achieve in the next initiation. I put that all together. It's cumulative, but yet it breaks a barrier. I now pass the veil of Teshuvah and pierce the veil of Parakat. And I'm at a whole new level of being, even though it was just this one incremental step.
I like the way you put that.
The adepthood of Tiferet. Well, indeed, to the base animal body, the animal soul, the nefesh, is It's adept. So the probationer, experiencing that base animal in the flesh, sees Tiphereth or the Holy Guardian Angel for the first time, especially in 5 or 65, where it's revealed to the probationer. Right? And in each of the grades up, somehow, the AA is presenting you with a way of exposing yourself to your Holy Guardian Angel, whatever that might be. In some way, they're exposing you to its availability and existence within your own psychic structure, or around your own psychic structure. Who knows? Depending on what you want to think of it. But each grade is as an adept to the previous grade. You know, we can think of the adept as like overdrive, okay? I can really handle it, you know, at the fourth speed that I'm driving. And so, but finally I push the speed up just enough I can get it into overdrive. Now I'm in fifth gear. Even though in a second my speed's going to drop down to something below fourth gear, I've already established enough of motion in my car by switching the gear to the fifth gear. I'm now operating at a higher level, even though I'm playing at a lower speed. So, adepthood is the goal of initiation, or is the crown of initiation, I should say. No, it's the ultimate success.
Could I throw in an additional question that builds on this? Then, if adepthood is the crown of initiation, where would we put the grades of the Master of the Temple and Magus then?
Yeah, Kether means the crown.
Remember now, down in, below the Veil of Paraketh where we sit, there's not really that much difference as far as we can see between the adept and the master adept. You know what I'm saying? These are the two levels of initiation, you know, the two real levels of initiation that there are. You know, in a sense, the master Tiphereth becomes aware of his relation with the world and with the divine and his part in the play. The master of the temple, of course, you know, what is the temple? The body and mind and soul and spirit. The master of the temple becomes the master of the mystic. So there's the outer initiation and the inner.
And then how would you describe the role of the magus in all of this?
Well, now the magus, you know, the subtlety of the supernals, and Crowley writes on this, the subtlety of the supernals is just that, way too subtle for us to comprehend until we get there. They're so almost exactly the same thing that, you know, pretty much by attaining to Bina, you just automatically kind of get Kether and Huck. It just
here's how I see it, just at the moment, that the Magus is fully identified and become like an avatar, archetypal consciousness. The archetype, the dominant archetypes of his age, he's able to embody it. He or she has reached such a level in their adepthood. They're able to be like a channel for this archetype in how they live their life and what they're doing. And such as, you know, somebody who's contributing to a new form of art or a new form of philosophy, etc.
But you're putting this at Tiphereth, right?
No, for the Magus.
I really like that at Tiphereth, because at Tiphereth then we have this idea of the Augeates. You're aware, you know, the adept is the genius.
He's the genius, but he's not, but he's still having a relationship. He's still below the abyss. He still has, like, he's communicating between the subject and object. With the Magus, it's not clear.
The Magus is founding a school of magic.
Yeah, but to do that, you're kind of embodying that archetype. You're not just communicating it and giving it to humankind. You're the beast, you know, you're one with the beast.
But you see, as I was going to say before, I think the three grades up there, well, I mean, obviously Hidden Master Temple, but, you know, Mages certainly seems like, almost an administrative grade in consciousness. I know that's kind of a sideways thing to say.
Well, his curse is that he must speak truth, which is falsehood.
Well, the lie is the curse of the.
Remember the book, Liber Valmagi.
Yeah, what is the curse of the Magus?
Is that he must speak truth, but the truth that he speaks is falsehood, which will enslave the souls of men.
But isn't that when you found the school of magic?
Well, that's part of it. You know?
More than part of it. You know, the very second I began to doctrinalize and dogmatize the points of my religion, is the second they begin to freeze themselves, but time moves on. Remember, it is incumbent upon every generation to formulate their own connection to the divine. So, once I create truth, well, that truth is in this moment, but this moment now is last moment. Okay, and so it begins to diminish. Okay. The master of the temple learns the mystery that joy is sorrow, or that sorrow is joy. The
Magus learns that change is stability. Stability is change.
So these mysteries, which are beyond, shall we say, human concern, and much different from this idea of embodying an archetype being more of an astral construct for me, which invokes the idea of the Augeades, and we're really talking about the adept at Tiferet. I hope that makes sense.
To me, it doesn't. When I look at Crowley, the names he took when he was Magus, the beast, to Megatherion, he's embodying the fundamental part of the archetypal consciousness. The beast, you can't get much more archetypal than that.
Well, the beast is an archetypal symbol. Okay? And so it stands for a whole bunch of things that we can confer. But let's not confuse, you know, the archetype with the territory. You know what I'm saying? I might be the embodiment of the Adam Kadmon, the archetypal human form. But don't confuse me with the Adam Kadmon. You know, I'm just PJ, your everyday run-of-the-mill AA asshole. This is just my perspective. You can take it with its own grain of salt, I guess.
It's all very interesting.
It sounds
again, I see the question in the is a good in and of itself. Different answers is a good in and of itself.
Yeah, it would be fun, especially with something like this conversation on initiation, if we could all meet, say, 20 years from now and re-record this exact same podcast and see what we have to say then.
Yeah.
Now, I'd love to read whatever drivel I might have spewed out, 20 years ago.
Yeah.